any sleep, and nothing definite was coming to mind.
Fire blast.
Nathan, what's the fastest way to the main hall from here? The Baron pointed.
Shortcut this way.
Watch for an ambush.
Ryan removed the partially used clip from the Stire and inserted a fully loaded one.
This could be a trap.
More for the slaughter.
Nathan shouted through cupped hands.
Attention! Overton is in the fortress! Who wants a piece of his hide with me?
Waving blasters, the Sekhmen roared their approval. Although not pleased with publicly announcing their intentions, Ryan understood the need for keeping the morale of the Sekhmen high. They were winning at the moment, but how many of them had died already? He had to keep their minds off dead friends and focused on chilling the man responsible.
Double time! March!
And the Browns charged forward. Taking a side street, the armed group traveled for a block, then angled into another side street. Going past wreckage from the keep and some dead civilians shot in the back, Ryan noticed what seemed to be a blank wall starting to move at the end of a small alleyway. He slowed to watch as the damaged expanse of wood paneling sluggishly lifted into the ceiling of a small room, exposing a battered LAV-25. On the ground were a dozen seemingly dead blue shirts, and a red-headed woman slumped against the left wall, her long, fiery hair waving as if stirred by secret winds.
Christy!
Ryan charged headlong into the garage. Armed pointmen swept the grand staircase, checking for enemy Sekhmen before allowing the main body of troops surrounding Overton to advance. Then they did the same for the east hallway. Finally reaching his former suite, Overton ordered a corporal to kick open the door, and a brace of troopers sprayed the room with their assault rifles, cutting down three brown shirts waiting in ambush. The fusillade of rounds tore them apart, driving one man out the window in a crash of stained glass. He screamed all the way down to the street and abruptly stopped. Overton was furious over the lapse of secrecy.
You there! Kill the pigeons! You, rip the wires out of the radio and take them along!
A private reached into the cage and took the trusting birds by the throat and snapped their necks one at a time. The other private removed the guts of the communications unit and stuffed the wires into a pants pocket. Moving to the armoire, Overton inserted a key and unlocked the heavy ironwood doors. Inside was an arsenal of blasters, grens, and a fat canvas bag.
Everybody fill their pockets with spare clips!
Overton stuffed some grens into his pockets. The Sekhmen looted the armoire as Overton grabbed a squat Thompson with a huge cheese wheel ammo clip. He pulled the bolt, and the pre-dark blaster was ready for war. Despite its size, the Thompson fired 22 caliber rounds, but the oversized clip held 600 rounds, which was enough to blow them a path to freedom. Yanking open the canvas bag, Overton lifted into view a monstrous blaster, the likes of which none of the others had ever seen before. The weapon sported a pistol grip attached to a breech-loading mechanism and a fat barrel only a foot long. Feeding sideways into the blaster was a flat wheel from which jutted a circular series of fat, soup-can-sized compartments.
Corporal, take this.
Overton handed him the bizarre weapon.
What the hell is that?
Something special from the boss, an MM1.
Overton snapped off the safety for him.
And it's our key out of here. It launches 12 38mm grens. Right now it's loaded with a mix of high-explosive shotgun rounds and white phosphorus. If the wind is with us, we can set fire to half the ville and be long gone before they figure out what happened.
The Sekhmen practiced with the balance of the strange blaster.
What then, my lord?
We regroup at the cave and come back here. No tricks this time, no clever plans. We're just going to take over and chill anybody who dares to try and stop us.
About fucking time.
As he agreed wholeheartedly with the sentiment, Overton allowed the lapse in discipline. But he made a mental note to punish the man later for insubordination. Returning the same way they came, the Sekhmen were halfway across the dining room when they heard a steady chatter of gunshots. Oddly, nobody was killed or even wounded on the floor, nor was any furniture damaged from missed rounds or ricochets. The machine gun chattered once more, and the old chain supporting the enormous crystal chandelier snapped, dropping the entire row onto the Sekhmen, crushing most of them to death instantly.
Ambush!
Overton sprayed the balcony with a long stuttering burst from the bulky Thompson. Wood chips flew off the banister along the entire front of the room, as he turned and hosed the walls randomly, hoping for a lucky strike. When satisfied, Overton raced out of the dining room and down the front corridor. At the front door, he stuck out the Thompson and sprayed bullets around in a circle. Cries of pain announced multiple hits, and he charged out of the fortress, still shooting indiscriminately. As he reached the street, a glance at the tiny indicator on top of the weapon showed it was only down 100 rounds. Firing sporadically at anything that moved, Overton reached the barn and chilled a trio of civilians hiding there among the bales of hay. The horses were whinnying in fear in their stalls, but saddles hung in front of each gate. Fumbling with a saddle, blaster tight in his grip, Overton chose a big stallion that looked as if it had lots of stamina. Throwing on the saddle blanket and leather saddle, then cinching the girth tight, he dropped the stirrups and climbed on the horse. Guiding it toward the doorway, Overton cut loose at a group of men entering the barn. The chattering Thompson decimated the civilians, who jerked and flinched as if stung by a million hornets. Blood splattered everywhere. Then his horse reared at the noisy weapon, and Overton was forced to stop firing to use both hands to control the beast. The terrified horse didn't want to walk through the morass of fresh bodies, so the big man drew his knife and pricked the animal in the rump, swearing over the fact he had no spurs. Nickering, the stallion walked forward, occasionally stepping on a hand or a leg when it couldn't be avoided. A few of the people screamed in pain, but that only hurried the animal along, and soon Overton reached the street. Turning in the saddle for a moment, the would-be baron sprayed the other horses in the barn with the Thompson, waving the flaming barrel as if conducting an orchestra. Dust and splinters erupted off the stalls from misses, but one by one the trapped animals dropped, his own mount trembling fearfully now at the awful smell of horse blood. When every mount was bleeding profusely, Overton kicked his stallion into a canter and headed for the drawbridge, shooting at any open window and door just to be safe. The irregular blaster fire sounded distant to Doc in the gatehouse, but the plodding steps of a horse coming toward him were loud and clear. Snatching an AK-47, Doc waited behind the barred window, trying to breathe calmly. There had been a loud blast a short while ago, and the top of the keep was no longer visible above the parapets. But did that mean Nathan and Ryan were winning the fight, or had already lost the battle for control of the ville? Was this relief coming, or an execution squad? The hoofbeats had a sharp sound to them, which meant shod hooves. No plow horse then, but a baron's mount or an officer's. And just a lone animal, so it wasn't a hunting party or troops. Perhaps one of the baron's horses escaped and was running away from all the noise. That made sense. The clatter of iron hooves on cobblestones grew louder until a magnificent dappled stallion rode into view. In the saddle was a well-dressed figure, carrying a canvas bag and a huge blaster.
Overton!
The baron seemed just as startled to see Doc in the kiosk instead of his blue-shirted sec men. Aiming the AK-47 to avoid hitting the horse, Doc fired the weapon at the hated enemy. The rounds hit Overton several times in the chest, and he hosed Doc with a stuttering Tommy gun, the tiny rounds striking the kiosk, floor, walls, and bars with ringing force. A pain stabbed Doc in the shoulder, and he was thrown to the side, dropping the AK-47. Doc fought the pain and tried to draw his pistol. Twisted sideways in the saddle, Overton was too high up to target Doc. He sprayed a wild burst from the odd blaster before leaning into the kiosk and tripping the lever to lower the drawbridge. He then kicked the stallion into a full gallop and rode over the drawbridge and across the grassy fields.
Egad, a vest! The dastardly blackguard is wearing a bulletproof vest!
A tiny piece of his mind wondered where the man was getting this pre-dark military equipment, but he shoved that question aside for later as he scrambled to his feet and rushed into the tunnel. Fisting the Lama, he ignored the pain in his arm and tightly held the blaster in both hands, aiming it at the hastily departing baron. Carefully, Doc tracked the rhythmic gait of man and horse as they raced over the ground. Seconds passed, and Overton was perilously near the trees when Doc finally fired. The hand cannon boomed, and Overton bucked in the saddle, nearly falling out, blood spraying from his left thigh. Dropping the Thompson, he struggled with the reins and managed to stay on the horse as it galloped into the woods and out of sight. A few minutes later, Ryan and the others arrived at the gatehouse, panting from the long run. JB threw his hat on the ground.
Dark night! We saw the bastard on the bridge, but couldn't chance a shot because we were afraid of hitting you.
Well, I did hit him.
Doc held a hand to his upper arm. Blood was seeping between his bony fingers, but only a small trickle.
Shot him several times, in fact, but the egg sucker is wearing a vest.